Last week we finished up on page 22, which is our church covenant, and I just mentioned it and we left. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the sale of and use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage, to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember one another in prayer, to aid one another in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and Christian courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that once we remove from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. Church covenant's been in documents of this church probably since its founding. Most churches, when they're established, their constitution and bylaws are very much a part of their constitution and bylaws. This is the old standard church covenant found in practically every Southern Baptist church, at least, across the country. And like I said, used to in the old Brodmann hymnals, Baptist hymnals, the front page. And remind people the covenant they have made with one another. Some churches actually have a covenant agreement service every year. They renew their covenant with each other and with the Lord and with the church. I think that's maybe worth looking at and thinking about doing. Because I would say there's a whole lot of people who are members of our fellowship who have never taken a look at the church covenant. And what does it mean? We're looking at our structure, and it starts with just the history of our church, South Avenue Baptist Church. 1953, our church goes back, and many of you could probably tell this history much better than I could. I got this from the documents that were handed to me and a history that you had written some time ago. But in 1953, the population of Pasadena is 22,438. You know what it is now? Yeah, 150,000 plus. Yeah, somewhere around there. Highway 225 was then Sterling Drive. It was a two-lane highway. Dirt, no pavement. And this community behind the church called Deepwater Community was just being built and established. And at that time, my understanding is you had one school in the area that was Deepwater Elementary, and it was located on Glenmore. And South Avenue Baptist Church was started as a mission church, a First Baptist Church, Pasadena, and a group of families intentionally started. A group of families were asked to come from the church and come out here and start a church plant here in the Deepwater area. And so that's what happened. At that time, L.D. Morgan was the pastor at First Baptist Church of Pasadena. And the first service of the mission church of First Baptist, later to be known as South Avenue Baptist Church. It was held July 19th, 1953. And my understanding is it was in this middle building. There's the only building you had at that time. How many were here for that service? Anyone? For the very first service? All right. Beverly, were you the only one?
No, I wasn't.
You wasn't here. All right, she came a little bit later. It was held in 1953, July 1953. Reverend Bob Pierce was a mission pastor. There were 124 people who attended Sunday school that day in one little building. You can't hardly imagine that now, can you? Just think about 124 people meeting in both fellowship, church, and Sunday school in that little building. That's what happened. And that day, 33 people joined the mission church. So that was the beginning of the church that became known as South Avenue Baptist Church. And the purpose of that new church, as it is today, is to provide the Deepwater community with a visible witness for Jesus Christ. They were officially organized as a church for a move from mission status. And the main difference that is, what does it mean to move from mission status to church status? Well, when you're a mission status, you're still being governed by the sponsoring work. They're providing your support. They're providing your finances. They're providing the budget, or at least approving the budget. Most of the finances go back to the mother church, and they handle the books and everything when you're early on. There's some exceptions to that, but for the most part, you're being governed by the planting church, the mother church, we would call it. And in 1954, the church became officially organized. And when you become officially organized as a church, you become self-supporting, self-governing, self-perpetuating. In other words, then you become a sending church. You've been sent, now you become a sending church. And then it gives you some ideas about some of the physical plant that we have now. We have three buildings. The first building was the middle building. My understanding is the sanctuary was building. Was built for worship and education in 1954, shortly. So they probably broke ground in 1954 and finished in 55. The first story, if you've seen the old pictures, the first story of building number three, which is the office building, children's and youth building, if you see some of the old pictures, you'll just see that it was one story, and they built one story with a flat roof. And later, the second addition was added to that particular building. 1965. 1982, the second floor of the sanctuary was renovated for adult education. And in 1987, the final payment was made on all church buildings and properties. And the question I have is, the church ever been in debt since? Not that anybody remembers or knows of. So, been out of debt since 1987. That's a good thing. 1987. In 99, you renovated this sanctuary. In 2001, you renovated the middle building. There's been some renovation of office space as well in the building three, and some additional facelifts here and there, my understanding. But that gives you a little bit of an idea over the past 60 years, some of the buildings that have gone up and some of the things that have happened. But I want you to notice that over those 60 years, more than 4,000 people have joined this church. 4,000 people. Now, they're not all still here, obviously. But what it means is some of them have come and gone, and death to life, life to death, left to life. Some have moved on to other states and other communities. Some have gone on to other churches. But everyone has had an impact made upon their lives by South Avenue Baptist Church and its ministry. And we should never forget the significance of that. If you have somebody for 2 months, or 20 years, it shouldn't make any difference as long as it's in God's plan. For that period of time, we have a responsibility to them and for them, and we need to do all in our power and strength to encourage them and help them to grow in the faith. One of our themes On page 24, it says a lot has changed in 60 years. Our city's changed. Preston Road has changed. Some people ask, why are you called South Avenue Baptist Church when you're on Preston Road? Y'all can explain that better than I can, but you know South Avenue only runs for a short period where Preston Road goes south, South Avenue comes north on a one-way street. But my understanding was that at one time those were identified as two separate streets. The northbound lane was South Avenue, the southbound lane was Preston. Is that correct? So that's the reason we're called South Avenue, but we're on Preston. One of the themes that we have, we see it on our new sign. I saw it all around the buildings. I saw it on documents. I stepped into my office for the very first time, and there were these pictures of a lighthouse, and it's sort of been the theme of our church. And it's a theme that there are people who are in spiritual darkness, and our church is supposed to be a lighthouse to our community, to draw them to the light of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to try to do here at South Avenue Baptist Church, is be a light in the midst of darkness. Help people see the light of Christ. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he also said to his disciples, you are the light of the world. And we need to shine the light of Jesus Christ into every dark place where that is needed. Well, it gives you some of the, page 24, you also have the pastors at South Avenue Baptist Church, the length of tenures that each of one of them were here. And I did not put the interims in there, by the way, because I didn't have all of those. But most of you know that period of time between Reverend Scott Brewer and myself, Brother Royce Measures was here for some months, and he was here this morning in our service, and it's always a joy to be around Brother Royce and Chris. We appreciate them so much. So there are some interim pastors in there, but these were those that you called a full-time service during the period of time that the church has been in existence. And I think I got them all right. That's what was handed to me. For those who are new, I'm the senior pastor. Brother Jim here is the associate pastor. We have Brother Bill, who's our minister of music. We have Brother Carson, who's our youth pastor. And then we have a part-time secretary, Debbie Brooks. And then we have some other staff that support staff, help with meals and that kind of stuff, child care. And Kathy, who helps with the financial records. And all of that, that's our staff, and they're here. We're all here to serve you and to minister to you and to help our church run as smoothly as possible. Debbie's in the office. The reason I mentioned her, I didn't mean to leave Kathy out of what she does, but she does the financial records, and she usually does that both at home and here, so I don't want you to think she's available all the time, but she does answer any questions you need to answer about finances. We also have our deacon body, and I want you to be aware that our deacon body is a servant body who serves with the pastors. We meet on a monthly basis, and it is the deacon body who serve alongside the pastors to help give direction and insight and wisdom in ministering to the needs of the fellowship. They are not a decision-making body that can make decisions for the church, but they do provide leadership in making decisions for the church. And most key decisions that are placed before the church at least have a hearing in the deacon body before it comes on, but in the deacon, in our group of deacons before it comes before the floor of the church. And they have the responsibility. We recently began the Deacon Family Ministry Plan, and they have the responsibility to minister about 12 to 15 families, and that seems to be increasing at a rapid pace, how many families they're responsible for. And what that means is they're available if you have prayer requests, prayer concerns, and you need to share with them. You can't get a hold of the pastors, or even if you could get a hold of us, identify with your deacon and let them know of your prayer needs as well, and let them be praying for you and ministering to you. We have monthly business meetings on the third Wednesday night of every month, provided we have enough people here to have a business meeting. And there have been a few months that there's not been enough of a quorum to where we could conduct business. But we have monthly business meetings on third Wednesday night after the third Sunday of each month. It may be a little bit confusing, but it's the third Wednesday after the third Sunday. And at that time, new members are voted into fellowship, reports are given, and important business matters are brought before the entire church. Ultimately, church makes the decision concerning major expenditures, major changes in program, major leaders that are elected, placed in service. Our church budget is adopted each year. It's the responsibility of pastor and staff and committees to stay within the parameters of that budget and to give a report to the church body when changes are needed in the budget. You have any questions sort of about when we meet, a church budget, church business meeting, deacons? Clear as mud. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about our affiliation. I spent quite a bit of time on this last week, and so I don't want to do a ton of stuff over, but I do want to highlight some things. We are affiliated with three Baptist bodies. One is San Jacinto Baptist Association. That's a local affiliation. The office is in Baytown. And San Jacinto Baptist Association is made up of 50 churches, counting us. 50 churches, or I should say 50 congregations. Some of them are church missions or church plants. So 50 congregations, I probably should have said congregations instead of churches, because not all of them are what we would call self-supporting, self-governing, autonomous churches at this point. South Jacinto Baptist Association covers the areas of Pasadena, Houston, Channelview, LaPorte, Huffman, Crosby, Baytown, Deer Park, Highlands, and Mount Bellevue. So it goes pretty far north, not quite as far east and west, and goes pretty far south. So it's a pretty wide area, covers several counties. And we affiliate with them. And what that means is we attend their meetings. We provide, we'll show you here in a few moments, we provide 2% of our budget to them of undesignated gifts to support their work and their ministry and what they do. Well, why be involved in San Jacinto Baptist Association? Well, they've got a lot of good things going on, but they have the reason you affiliate with the association to do together what you could never do alone. And the Association of Churches come together, and we network together, we work together, we serve together. One of the things we did last Monday night, we had a San Jacinto Baptist Association Sunday School training. We had 55 people in this building and that building and that building in Sunday School training. And I think, how many of those were ours, Jim? About 19 were ours, and the others were from neighboring churches. So we were a blessing to them, they were a blessing to us, and we blessed them because we gave them a building in which we could have the training. They blessed us because they provided all the trainers, all the equippers. And so we did together what it would have been more difficult and more costly. It cost us absolutely nothing to have that training other than the time that we spent. Did we provide the money for the refreshments? Yeah, we provided the refreshments. Everything else they provided. They paid for all the expense of the workers to come and everything. So it was a win-win. Win for us. If we tried to do all that on our own, it would have been more expensive and not quite as effective because we got more people involved this way. San Jacinto Baptist Association also has a block party trailer. Now, a lot of things they have in the block party trailer we already have, and so we don't... we don't borrow it, but in that trailer is a bounce house. They have popcorn machine, cotton candy machine, snow cone machine. They got a portable generator, and that's accessible to any of our churches. If we want to go out and do a block party or ministry event, we have something special going on here at the church, all we have to do is just put our name on the list. There is a small recovery cost for the supplies, and we have access to that. They've also recently bought a giant inflatable movie screen with a video projector that allows you to go out into your community, go in a city park or out into your parking lot and show Christian movies or Christian films to draw people in, be a witness to your community. They're supposed to be putting together, I think, the video license requirements for that, so they don't have to pay every time a church uses that. They do that through the associational office. But I don't know if you've ever... how many of you used to go to the drive-ins? All right. This would be a little bit like the drive-ins, only you bring your lawn chairs instead of the pickup trucks. I guess you could pull your pickup truck and sit in the back of the pickup truck in your lawn chair, but I think that's something we ought to take a look at and using sometime in the future. It's brand new to them, but they big projector, big screen, and my son's church actually has that. They use it for a lot of their youth events, and last year he borrowed it from the youth department at his church, and during Christmas we sit out back and watch a movie at his house, and it was fun. Sit around a bonfire and watched the movie on the big screen. It was a lot of fun, and it's a good opportunity. So those are some of the things. They also have mission trips. They have a Christian camp called Camp Tomahawk. It's an amazing camp. Our children are trying to raise some funds to go to Camp Tomahawk this summer. They have camps for youth and for children. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to go up there every year because our teenagers have already got a camp in Louisiana they're going to, but there's that opportunity to go to the Christian camp through our association. And we support all that work through the ministry of San Jacinto Baptist Association. So we get a chance to go represent our church. We get to vote on issues regarding the association, and they are here to serve us and make us better together than we could ever be alone. Have any questions about San Jacinto Baptist Association? Okay. The second group that we're affiliated with is the Baptist General Convention of Texas. The Baptist General Convention of Texas, and it's made up of approximately 5,700 congregations. Again, I should have said congregations instead of churches because that includes both churches and church plants. 5,700 congregations all across the state of Texas. Now, I can't tell you as much about the work at because I'm not as familiar with all that Baptist General Convention of Texas does, but I do get the brochures. And state missions offering, we see some of the things they do. They have several Christian colleges and schools across the state. They've got guys who are on state staff that are here to serve us. I've talked to numerous guys since I've been here via the phone. One of the ladies that used to be in Illinois is now on state staff at the Baptist General Convention of Texas, and I know her. Her name's Sandy Wisdom Martin, and she's over the WMU in Texas, and she's a sweet, sweet lady and does a great job. But they help with education. Again, if we need training, they would help us provide trainers. They have conferences both regionally and statewide on a regular basis for people to be trained and equipped. When we needed Bibles for our food pantry, I contacted the Baptist General Convention of Texas, and I said, hey, would you all help us with some Bibles? And they sent us cartons of Bibles to hand out, both English and Spanish. I think maybe the Spanish were maybe just the Gospel of John. But anyway, they gave us fragments of Scripture, pieces of Scripture that we could hand out and distribute, all at no charge to us, because we were part of their fellowship and part of their membership. Our Baptist campus ministry, we just served meal. This was it last week that we served over at San Jacinto. They help those workers. I'm not sure over at San Jacinto if they're still providing her support or not. I think she may be having to raise her own support. But most of the four-year college campuses, they provide the support for Baptist campus ministry and the work that goes on in Baptist campus ministry. Again, they have a Christian camp. They have a Christian assembly. They have youth camps, children's camps all over the state of Texas. And so there's a lot of things we do through the state, mission trips, sponsored overseas, that we can participate in if we want to through the Baptist General Convention of Texas. We do together what we could not do alone. And so we are working together with 5,700 other Southern Baptist General Convention Texas congregations working together to accomplish the Great Commission. By the way, should we so choose to, we can, because we are autonomous, which means self-governing. We are independent, which means nobody can tell us what to do except the Lord Jesus. We could choose to be a part of a local association, not be a part of the state convention or Southern Baptist Convention. Did you know that? You could choose to be a part of the state convention, not a part of the local association or the Southern Baptist Convention, the national convention. Or you could choose just to be a part of the national convention, not be a part of the state convention, not be a part of the local association, because each one of those organizations determines its own membership. They're not governed. The San Jacinto Baptist Association is not governed by the Southern Baptist Convention or the Baptist General Convention of Texas. In fact, San Jacinto, we have another state convention, Baptist Convention, called the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention in the state. And there are many of our churches in San Jacinto that are affiliated with both state conventions. Some are affiliated with only the Baptist General Convention of Texas. Others are only affiliated with Baptist Southern Baptists of Texas. But all of them are affiliated with San Jacinto, because San Jacinto decides and determines its membership, which churches are going to be involved and which churches are not. Same is true for the Baptist General Convention of Texas. There are many of those 5,700 churches. If you look at the financial reports that are sent out through the Baptist General Convention of Texas, and then I get the financial reports that are sent out from the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention, there's a lot of those 5,700 churches that are part. They give to both state conventions. Both state conventions. And that's a whole other story. I'm not even going to get into that. But 5,700 churches. Why have two state conventions? They're focused on two different things. So just keep that in mind. And the Baptist General Convention of Texas, it determines its membership. It's autonomous, self-governing. The Southern Baptist Convention can't tell them what to do. The local church, just like we send representatives to the Southern San Jacinto Baptist Association, we also send representatives to the state convention, Baptist General Convention of Texas, when they meet. We can send representatives, and we can help make decisions concerning the direction of the state convention. We have the same input as the mega churches. Every church is limited by how many messengers it can send to a meeting. And the limits are, I think, about 14, I think, in the state of Texas. 14 messengers is the max. But it doesn't matter whether your church is big or large, you don't get more than the smaller church. Now, the smaller church might get less, but if you contribute substantially to the cause of the state convention, it doesn't matter the size of your church. It matters on the size of your gifts, and you get the same representation. And most our church would be represented at the max, even though we're a smaller church compared to some of the mega churches. Second Baptist Houston, First Baptist Houston, Sagemont, they wouldn't get any more than we would. We would get the same representation at these state meetings, they would. So, Baptist General Convention of Texas, 5,700 congregations. Then we're also part of a national entity called the Southern Baptist Convention. And we are a national entity, but we do international work through the Southern Baptist Convention. And in the Southern Baptist Convention, there's 46,000. Again, I've got churches, 46,000 congregations, and that's changing by the moment. And the reason it changes by the moment is because some churches die and some churches live. Some churches are being born. But at last count, approximately 46,000 congregations. At the bottom of page 25, I made this statement. We are the largest non-Catholic denomination in the U.S. I don't know how long that's going to be true, but the last time I checked, that's still true. We are the largest non-Catholic denomination. Do you know the difference between a denomination and a church? For instance, the Catholic Church, they don't say Catholic churches, they say the Catholic Church. They have one church in many locations. And that's true for some other groups. They have one church in many locations, and they're governed by either an individual, in the case of the Catholic Church, or a group of individuals, a council or presbytery, that governs the entire church all across the U.S. Okay? We are a denomination that we affiliate, cooperate voluntarily. We're not coerced. We affiliate and cooperate, and we govern. Ideally, we govern not from the top down, from the bottom up. It is the churches that decide what the national entities are going to do, not vice versa. So, what do we do in the U.S. at the SBC level? Well, we support six seminaries. There's six of them. We have Golden Gate Seminary in San Francisco. At least that's the main campus. They have branches all across the U.S., but the main campus is in just overlooks the Golden Gate Bridge. I've been at Mill Valley, California. I've been on their campus. Beautiful, small campus, but it's a beautiful campus, very small. We have Southwestern Seminary, which the main campus is in Fort Worth, Texas. That's where I went to school. It's where Brother Jim went to school. Linda went to school. But they also have a campus here at in Houston, where the Park Place Baptist Church is. It's on their facilities. And they have other campuses across the country. We got New Orleans Baptist Seminary, which is in New Orleans, Louisiana. Again, they have campuses across the U.S., various locations, sometimes in a church that houses some classes for them. We have Western Seminary, which is in Kansas City, Missouri. It's the smallest of our seminaries in size and in student population. And then we have Southeastern Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. I have not been on their campus. I don't have a clue what it looks like. Have you ever been there, Brother Jim? But it's probably, I want to say it's the second oldest. I'm not sure if it is or it isn't. And then the Southern Seminary is the first. I used to have friends of mine when I went to school. Southern Seminary is in Louisville, Kentucky. And a lot of the guys I went to college with, they'd say, "We are going to the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky." And I would say, "Yeah, and I'm going to Southwestern Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas." A lot of people ask me, "Why did you go to Southwestern when Southern was in your back door?" And I said, "Because when I was looking for seminary, I was interested in missions and evangelism. And at that time, Southwestern, half of all of our international missionaries on the foreign mission field had graduated from Southwestern. They offered numerous classes in evangelism, which was my interest, evangelism and missions. At Southern, they offered one. They offered one class in evangelism. It was not a required course, by the way. And I just wanted to be in an environment at that time. By the way, things have changed a lot in all of our seminaries. But those are the six seminaries. Southern in Louisville, Kentucky. Southeastern in Wake Forest, North Carolina. New Orleans in New Orleans, Louisiana. Kansas City, Missouri. Midwestern is there. Southwestern in Fort Worth and Golden Gate. Those six seminaries all receive a portion of what we call cooperative program money. And it's all based on their full-time equivalents of students. The seminaries all get a specific piece of the pie, and then how much of that pie the seminary gets is based on not their needs, not their location. It's based on the number of students that are in their program or the full-time equivalency. And all of that money that's divided up among seminaries is divided based on student enrollment. And it doesn't go to the seminaries. It goes to the students. Scholarships. My education was subsidized by Southern Baptists. I probably would not have been able to go. Average cost for a seminary. I know people who've gone to independent seminaries, and they've paid as much as $40,000 to $50,000 a year in tuition. Multiply that times three. Now, you can get it cheaper than that. I've seen some in the $20,000 range per year. Multiply that times three to get a master's degree. At Southwestern, my semester tuition, I think when I was in seminary, it was a long time ago, by the way, I paid $250 a semester. $250 a semester to go to school. And it took me 4 years to get through, by the way. But you pay based on your the amount of credits you take, of course. And I wasn't full-time all the time. I was part-time, part of the time. But Jim, do you remember what you paid? Room and housing, yeah. That didn't include room and housing. That was on top of that. That's just tuition. I will tell you that today, I think the tuition has gone up. It's about, but even at this, depending on the seminary, and each one's a little bit different, I think it's anywhere from $110 to $180 per semester, per credit hour, not per credit hour. So if you take 10 credits or 15 credits, you can do the math. It's still under $2,000 a semester, $4,000 a year. And I want to tell you, to go to an independent seminary, there's no way you can touch that cost. And the reason why it's so cheap is because Southern Baptists subsidize the cost so that they can get qualified pastors trained and equipped. So we support six seminaries, and I looked at the 2013 Book of Reports, so this is up to date, bottom page 25. We support approximately 2,500 missionaries in the U.S. We used to say 5,000, but what's happened is the North American Mission Board, when I was a North American Mission Board missionary, I was one of that 2,500 for 6 years. I served in Northern Illinois. I was what was called a jointly funded missionary, which meant the State Convention of Illinois paid one-third of my salary. The North American Mission Board paid two-thirds of my salary, plus my benefits while I was up there. And so I was appointed, along with my wife, to be a North American missionary. And they counted both of us as missionaries. Nowadays, they only count the person receiving the paycheck. They don't count the wife as a missionary anymore. So when the prayer calendars went out, how many of you get open windows? You see the prayer calendars? My name's on there. My name was on there for 6 years. Bonnie's name was on there for 6 years. Now I guess they're saying her name comes off because she's not a missionary, which I don't know how I feel about that. I understand they're trying to say this is who receives our support, and it's not right. But when we send our missionaries overseas, it's the husband and wife both have to feel called, and they only receive one paycheck, but it's still for the household. And they still count our international missionaries, both husband and wife, as missionaries, not just the husband or not just the wife. And in the U.S., they decided not to count them like that anymore. So it cut our missionary totals in half. Those missionaries include church planters. They include military chaplains. And military chaplains, they are endorsed by our denomination, by the North American Mission Board. It also includes what we call workplace chaplains. There's all kinds of chaplains, race car ministry, horse racing ministry. There's chaplains, and a lot of these missionaries actually raise their own support. I know there's sometimes a misunderstanding, but we have a lot of what we now call Mission Service Corps missionaries. And the Mission Service Corps missionaries, they're volunteers who raise their own support to go support the cause of the Great Commission. And many of them are not receiving any funds whatsoever from our North American Mission Board. They're endorsed and appointed by our Mission Board to a particular assignment. but they raised their own support to get there. Mission Service Corps, our volunteers, and then you've got most of our North American missionaries, by the way, are jointly funded missionaries, which means the state convention pays a portion of their salary. The North American Mission Board pays a portion of their salary. Our missionaries overseas, these are based on the 2013 annual book of reports. We supported 4,885 missionaries engaging 874 people groups around the world in 2013. Our missionaries used to be assigned to geographical areas, like I'm a missionary to Nigeria, I'm a missionary to South Africa, I'm a missionary to Tanzania. No longer. They are assigned to regions of the world, but they are assigned to people groups, which means they cross boundaries, geographical boundaries. We've had missionaries who have a base of operations, for instance, in Cyprus, and they're going over into the mainlands of the Middle East, ministering to people groups that are primarily Muslim. But their home base of operations is Cyprus. But they're constantly going across into the mainland, into various regions of the world. Some in Macedonia, some in Turkey, some in even Afghanistan and Kabul. Different regions of the world ministering. What I want you to understand, we give 8% of our... Move on to the next one. Yeah, we give 8% of our undesignated budget to the Baptist General Convention of Texas and to the Southern Baptist Convention through a missions program called the Cooperative Program. And we don't give to the Cooperative Program, we give through the Cooperative Program. And the Cooperative Program was a concept created in 1925. And it was based on the fact that prior to this time, our missionary sending agencies were societies. We had a home missionary society, we had a foreign missionary society, and those missionaries would come home and they would bombard the churches with pleas for funding. And the greatest speakers got the greatest amount of funds, but they had to spend all their time coming home soliciting funds so they could go back and do the work. In 1925, a group of people got together and said, there's a better way to do this. Surely there's a better way to do this. And so they decided that what they would do was encourage state conventions to receive all the funds from the church, keep 50% in the state, send 50% on to Southern Baptist Convention causes. And that 50% would then fill out to the missionaries and to the work. And so that's what's been done. With the exception, most state conventions keep more than 50%. In our case, our church gets to decide how much stays in the state, because Baptist General Convention of Texas allows us to do that. Our church gets to decide how much stays in the state and how much goes on to Southern Baptist Convention. And it's a 50-50, I think is what you told me, Kathy, 50-50 split. So 50% stays in the state, 50% goes on to Southern Baptist Convention. Now, I had the opportunity and privilege to serve 2 years as a representative of Indiana on the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee. And I was on the Cooperative Program Subcommittee. And we determined every year how the pie was going to be split at the Southern Baptist Convention level, and then we recommended it to the Southern Baptist Convention. And I'll just tell you, it's pretty much cut and dried. They've been doing it the same way for so many years, they're not going to change it. But we got to hear the reports from every missionary, from every agency across the Southern Baptist Convention. And I will tell you that approximately of that 50% that goes on to the Southern Baptist Convention, 25% or 50% of that, or 25% of our total dollars that go to the Cooperative Program, goes to the International Missions Board. About another 30% goes to the North American Mission Board, and then we get about another 20% going to the seminaries. Not quite 20%. It's more like 15%, probably 16%. And then we've got some other agencies like the Religious and Ethics Commission, Religious Liberty and Ethics Commission, that gets a very small portion of support, and the Executive Committee itself gets a really small portion of support. But the overwhelming majority funding goes to International Mission Board, North American missionaries, and our seminary students. And then the others get a very small piece of the pie. Bottom line, our church supports 7,500 missionaries, approximately 5,000 overseas, approximately 2,500 here at home. And then we support at all three levels, both San Jacinto Baptist Association as well as Baptist General Convention of Texas and the Southern Baptist Convention. We have support staff at all three levels that can help us in the areas of evangelism, discipleship, worship, service, missions, and fellowship. We do together what we could not do alone. Let's pray together.